Put on your CEO hat to start the sermon. If you are chief executive officer, where do you invest? Back in July, when the Mega Millions jackpot was $810 million, one fast food chain CEO bought 50,000 tickets. He said, that is one ticket for each of our employees. $2 tickets cost them $100,000. He said, if I win, I'm going to share the money. We're going to split the pot with all the employees. You can see it's very fine print up there. They said, we'll take the cash option, which is $470 million. And I've done that math a couple times. If you win, take $470 million and divide that by all 50,000 employees, everybody's going to get an equal share of $9,400, which is nothing to sneeze at, but still, it's $9,000. So did he make a good decision? And one crucial piece of information that I never found in the article that I was reading, where did the $100,000 come from? Is this corporate money or is this from your own wallet? That's something I don't know. Now, you may or may not be CEO. We may or may not have millions that we manage. But we are all called to be fiscally responsible. What does it look like to be financially responsible? And since we live in the world and the times that we do, we're going to ask this question first. Who's responsible? Am I responsible to take care of myself? Is it the government's job? Whose job is it to provide for me or us? Let me just say initially, it's yours. Okay. It's your job. Wednesday night Bible study, I asked, what are monetary questions? And wrote down several from the group. And one was phrased like this, who decides where it all goes? And that's going to be us. Okay, it's going to be you and me today. This is from 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. If you don't want to do the work. Now, we always caution that, say, if you can't work, that's different. Okay, we understand that. If you need help, we'll help, and we can build a biblical case, and we will. Your immediate family ought to be able, as believers, to come and help you. The church certainly can come alongside and assist. We'll give you that. But it would appear that at some point, some folks have crossed over to allowing or expecting that the government provides everything. You look up government passages in the New Testament, you try to say, what's the Bible say about government? And this is their number one responsibility. Protect the innocent and punish the guilty. That's the job of government. You don't find as much in the scripture about government providing every need. It is a worthy goal. I don't deny the idea, but that's not your number one job. Okay, this is Romans 13:3. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. You want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what's right, and he'll commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Chuck was referencing Peter, and he wrote the same thing, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. Job number one. 1 Timothy 2, Paul writes the same thing, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That is the government's first responsibility. Provide, protect, so that I can live a quiet, peaceful life and provide for myself. Now, people need help, yes. Immediate family, the church come alongside. If you read 1 Timothy 5, you make that case very easily. You know, you got a widow that's really in need. Yes, the church should come and help. Family should help family. This is James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. Religion that God accepts is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Yes, churches collecting for other Christians. First century, they had a famine. Right now, we're sending money to people in Florida. Biblically justified. You need help? You give help? It's just not the government's first job to provide for everything. And I probably back in the day, I probably wouldn't even have started here. But we need to now. And throughout this, you'll hear the Bible saying, you need to do this with your money. You're responsible. I like this phrase. Once you carry your own water, you'll learn the value of every drop. So with our own water, our own money, are you keeping track? Second question. How much is in your savings right now? Don't say it out loud. What is the balance in our checkbook? How much did we spend on utilities last winter? Because I'm guessing you're going to spend more this year. How much did we spend on clothing last month? How much went to fast food last week? And I don't need you to have it on top of your head. I'm not asking for that. But could you find it? How long would it take to figure that out? And I understand not everybody in the room has the same constraints or needs. But a lot of times, somebody who has more discretionary money now, somebody who doesn't need to maybe watch every dollar today, they got here because they did watch every dollar yesterday. And I'm going to guess in most cases, they still watch it, even today. I don't care what system you use, whether it's a budget, whether it's envelopes, paper, if you have some kind of concrete system, digital apps, it's the same process, and all the apps are just digital envelopes. I went to nerdwallet.com July of this year. They said these are our top four. Mint. What is YNAB? Does anybody know? What is YNAB? Need a budget. Yep. Thank you. You need a budget. Good budget. Every dollar. I copied right out of their article. Pros, cons, plus and minuses. There are about 10 paper copies out there. If you don't do things online, you can take one. If you want to wait Tuesday, I'll send you the PDF of this exact information. But that's just opportunities to keep track so we know where it goes. We, Denise and I, have a super fancy, highly technical, spiral-bound wire notebook. Okay? It has four lines on it. And I know at a moment's glance how much is in the car fund, the vacation fund, the home improvement fund, and the emergency fund. If the power goes out, I still know how much money we have. Well, Luke 14:28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Do we just know where it is? How much is there? Third question. Spend the bulk of our time here. Are we aware of where the money's going to need to go? That was when I asked the question Wednesday night. One of the very first questions somebody asked is, where does all the money go? And I wanted to politely say, where you put it? You know, that's exactly where it goes. Which the knee-jerk response to that's going to be, well, yeah, but, you know, we're obligated for this. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I got this over here, got to pay this mortgage, signed up for this, this is tied up, this is, where's it all go? And what am I going to say? You took on every one of those commitments voluntarily. You went to the closing, you read all the documents, you signed it, you sent a deposit or whatever we have to do for the utility company, you handed that cashier the credit card. I looked at like Amazon Buy Now, I thought that's probably like the, it took me three clicks to get there. You know, I had to make three choices on what I was, before it would let me buy. I don't remember what I bought, but, you know, it's, you know, and we've had sermons that have, you know, different systems, graphics, envelopes. I've had little buckets up here, different lines, funds. I don't care, but it's going to go here. And the first responsibility, you heard him mention, the first responsibility is going to be my giving. You know, We have it every week. I remember Stephen, I think it was last week, was talking about, you know, I got a new account that it just comes right off the top. Do this first. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And it's a challenge if you're hearing this for the first time. First things first. First lessons learned. And we always say, if you can teach them while they're young, you know, if you can start early, you know, you're a farmer that's about to have a harvest. I presume it appears to me to be, in most of the fields, a good year. Where's that first money go? You know, right off the top. I don't know if it's, is it easier to do when there's a better yield? Is it a little tougher to do when the yield's not as good? First things first. You know, I remember having a conversation with one of our players who is an official. And she said, I'm going to officiate 4 games and make $25 each. And her eyes got real big. She said, that's $100. You know, I'm like, where's that? Right off the top. You know, if you were going to tithe, give a tenth to the Lord, $10. You know, while hopefully, I know $90 doesn't go along, but still, it's, you know, I got that much left. Learning in the beginning. Proverbs 10:22, learning this. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. You know, this church has some degree of money at our disposal at the moment. We know things fluctuate and it's up and down, but for now, you know, why is that? Because the church also understands giving. Giving first. 1 John 3:17. If anybody has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? So if I want to be God's child, if I want to be in God's family, if you have family resemblance, I care about people who have needs and I give to help. Responsibility number 2, we would put saving. Well, what is saving? I like this illustration I always use. Hey, I went to the store to buy that pair of shoes that we talked about for $50. And when I got there, they had a buy one, get one half off sale. So I got 2 pair for $75. I saved $25. To which we say what? No, you didn't. You spent $50 that we budgeted and we knew you were going to spend. Plus you spent $25. I have no idea where that's going to come out of whatever other line. Saving. Saving is this, income not spent. Deferred consumption. How much of your last check did you not spend immediately? Set aside for future use. The meditation verse we had last week, 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. So that when I come, no collections will have to be made. You already got it. It's there. It's been saved. And somebody else asked this question. What's the difference between saving and investing? I'll be as simple as I can. Saving is putting it aside. I'm not necessarily hoping for any huge increase, but I'm also confident that I'm going to have that same amount later. Okay. I'm going to save it for later. That's like the piggy bank mentality. Or the mayonnaise jar, stuffing money under your mattress. Here's some around the house safe items you can look at. Now that we put these online, the thieves are going to know. You know, so, but, you know, a kitchen drawer with a fake bottom, you can hide stuff in there. The paint can one scares me because I would forget which paint can I put the money in, and there's a whole shelf of those. They've got some envelope taped to the back of your drawer, which usually there's a little gap in there. Cut a tennis ball open. And somebody important papers in their Hoover vacuum. You know, but just that the idea of saving is I saved $100. I had $100, I put it in a paint can, it's where I put my paint. My thought is 100 years from now, but 100 days from now, I'm still gonna have $100. I don't expect to open that paint can to have 150. But I don't open the can and have 80 or 75 either. I'm going to have the 100 that I saved. Versus investing, which is we're also putting aside, deferring, but I'm kind of hoping that that money might make me a little more money, right? It'll increase a little bit more rapidly with the risk that it might go down. I'm going to set aside, I'm going to invest. What, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year? I'm going to have 10 more years. I'm hoping to have at least that 50, 60, or 70,000. I like it to be more, but I understand it could be less. And you can save regular savings account and get a much smaller return. When I looked up FDIC national average, 0.13%. Okay, so you can make a little bit. That's a very little bit, 0.13%. You know, investments typically are going to outpace that amount, but they're subject to market movement, up, down, politics, greed, etc. I know I've got a, I don't know what the page is from the Solomon Fund, somewhere up here that we've looked at and used, and just the idea that, you know, they invest the money, and you can open it up, and it says, this is where we put it. These are our core values. This is why we do what we do. And I'll talk a little bit more next week about why we use that. I'm confident Brianna and others with more financial acumen than I have, they can tell you a lot more about similar investments. You know, and we'll talk about it with contentment next week. Third responsibility, got to pay taxes. It's one of them. This is Matthew 21:31. It's the parable of the two sons. The dad said, please go out and work in the vineyard. And the first kid said, nope, not going to do it. And then he changed his mind and he went and did it. And the second son said, yes, sure thing, dad, I'm going to go out and work. And then he changed his mind. He didn't go. And then Jesus is asking his audience this, Matthew 21:31. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Now, why do I put that verse on the screen when we are talking about paying our taxes? That is simply here to remind us that IRS agents are human beings too. Some of the first century tax collectors figured it out before some of the religious leaders. They are not inherently evil people. Right? They were trouble with them in the first century. We have issues now, but they're people who can learn about Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. There are things that are more important than money, and people's one of them. Now, I've talked about paying taxes. Luke 20:25, Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. Romans 13:6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And one of the questions Wednesday night said, how much more money can the government spend? I can't answer that question. I have no idea how. But when you look at verse 7 in Romans, it doesn't ask if the taxes are put to good use or not. You know, I'm fine with taking any deduction that is legally, ethically allowed. I'm not going to pay any more taxes than I have to pay. I'm fine with voting for people who make good decisions, who are going to decide where taxes go the way I think they should. In the meantime, I got to pay the taxes. And sometimes two and three go hand in hand. Sometimes you got to set aside, save up taxes because you know it's going to come. If the Lord chooses not to return in the next 6 months, pretty sure another April 15th is going to roll around. You know, it's coming. Taxes will be due. Fourth responsibility, I have debt reduction. I wanted to put this fifth of the five. I wanted to put this last because we're talking about living. It's like, I got to have money to live. That's true. But if I can pay off more debt, I think I'll have more money left to live on. No. And if you, a lot of times what? If you have all these obligations and you're going to have to scale down on something, it's daily living because that's all I got left. So maybe that's a little bit of incentive. You know, if I can get rid of more debt, I'll have more money to live on and not so much additional debt in the future. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And I keep wanting to say not all debt is bad. I hear that. You know, people say there's such a thing as good debt. I think people who are more conscious of money aspects than I do, I think they would probably do. I should ask them, let's refine what that means. I'm just a guy that comes here and I talk about money like basically once a year, and I just try to not have any debt. People who have worked their way up out of debt generally do not have a lot of regrets about being in that situation. You know, and I know some takes a long time, right? Mortgage and stuff can take, but do I have one mortgage and then second mortgage and then line of credit? And I thought for some of us, if you've been here more than just the 1 year, a simple test would be, how is our debt load today compared to what it was last year when we had talked about money? If we're going to have more debt, key question is going to be, how much is this going to handcuff us in the future? And I think weddings are a good example. Talk about a wedding in a couple weeks. What's the average price of a wedding today? So I went to Business Insider, and they have charts created by The Knot. If you are in the wedding business, the online group, and The Knot surveyed 7,600 couples, and they give these averages. I don't know that the older eyes can see the fine print that we'll put up here, but in the recent years, this is the chart. In 2015, the average cost of a wedding in America was $32,641. 2020, it was down to $19,000. Okay? So, pandemic, you got that. You know, that's what that was. Pandemic and cutting down on crowd size. But it's already creeping back up. 2021, $22,500. They had a further breakdown of all the various components that you typically spend on a wedding. The venue is the most expensive at the top, $10,500. Officiant, $280. Rehearsal dinner, $1,900. The dress, $1,600, et cetera, to get that breakdown. How much did this wedding dress cost? $47. Good morning, America. Los Angeles couple, Kiera and Joel Brokenbrough, were able to pull off everything in their wedding for $500. Our goal was just to be as minimal as possible, Kira told Good Morning America, to spend the least amount of money as possible. The bride and groom said we were able to do this because we put a very heavy focus on not going into debt when starting our marriage. They said to kick off their low-cost wedding, she found this dress online, digital fashion retailer Shein, $47. She shared it on TikTok. A million people watched her dress buying experience. I didn't want to spend a lot of money on a dress because I had the mindset I'm only going to wear it one day for a couple hours. Now, here's how they did it. When it comes to cutting cost for the actual wedding, she said people gave us a lot of stuff. They did. Somebody gifted us the flowers. Somebody gifted the runner. They found a free site. We had a $10,000 venue cost. They found a free location right off California's highway. That is a scenic overlook, and that's the venue that they had. And this, see what you think, said, guest paid for their own food and drinks at the reception. She said, you have a wedding with witnesses there to witness you. You're vowing to your spouse. You're vowing to God that you guys are going to stay together for life, and you celebrate with food, drinks, and dance. And that's exactly what we did. She said this, in order to pull off a wedding on a budget, you have to have supportive loved ones. She said, the people who came understood the assignment. They understood what we were trying to do, and they really supported us. Yeah. So do I understand the assignment, just with money in general, just going into debt, having to have this label or trying to keep up with this family? You know, what's the assignment? You know. And the fifth responsibility then is daily living. And I wrote the sermon, I said, at the end of the day, I'm like, well, actually, at the beginning of the day, at the beginning of the day, I need X amount of money to live. I don't know what your Monday looks like, but I'm guessing you're going to say, I need this much for money. We need this much for the next week. We got the next month coming up. And most of us are going to be able to say, yeah, I know, 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I don't want to be that. I want to be able to provide for my household. And I know providing, just daily provision today is tougher than it was a year ago at this time. I get that. I'm flabbergasted how much a pound of hamburger costs now, and I'm so thankful that we didn't have to pay what you guys had to pay when we were feeding two teenagers. You know, that's why the Travises see me more at their pond, because we eat more fish. Every time I catch one of those fish and he weighs more than a pound, I'm like, there's $5. All right, put him in the freezer. And we'll spend more time next week looking at the mindset. You know, it's kind of, it's a money management mindset that impacts day to day. But for this system, I thought, if I can decide wisely with the first four options, 1, 2, 3, 4, the more it's going to trickle down or at least be left over for 5. You know, if I can work, be a good steward, like number 4, if I can pay off more debt, that's going to provide more money for 3 and 2 and 1. If you get to where you can save more, if you get to where you can give more, that's going to bless. It's all connected. It all works together. I have a responsibility to manage all 5 of these to the best of my ability. Now that's financial, and I want to just take a minute to conclude. This is a debt that's deeper than money. Okay? Don't forget this. As limiting as monetary debt can be, this is deeper. It's a debt that everybody owes. It's a debt that no one can escape. I don't care how fast you run or how many millions you have. Jesus replied, John 8:34, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." We all have a debt. Colossians 2:13, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." I don't know if some of that looks like legalese to you or like biblical fine print. You know, like, I don't understand all that. I trust you get the point. I owed a debt because of my sin. And Jesus paid that debt in full for me and for you on the cross. Monetary debt, there's a lot of biblical wisdom. You can get out from under it, but that might take a little bit of time. Spiritual debt, eternal debt, that has been paid in full. That can be erased for you within the next 3 minutes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for those who would begin the week focused on you and considering that which will certainly last beyond today. We understand the tangible nature of money. It's just a part of every single day. No matter our age, no matter our income, no matter our inheritance, our family, we all use it to some degree. And we just pray that we can understand where it goes, why it needs to go that direction, and how I am responsible for those decisions. Pray that we would understand the debt that you have erased for us. Maybe we be willing to accept that which actually matters in eternity. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.